Welcome, Green Future Growers, Progressive Radio Network listeners, and anybody who's new to the show. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer, and let's get growing. Welcome to the Organic Gardener podcast this morning. It is Tuesday, April 17th, 2018, and I have a very exciting guest on the line because he's another forward-thinking entrepreneur. He's got some great, a visionary product out there that I know Mike has been bugging me about for years, a way for people to, connect with, for food growers to connect with people that want to eat healthy food. I, being the person who wants to eat the healthy food, would have a way to connect with people that are growing it. So he's got a great business called Seed Voyage, and his name is Dusan Batrovich. So welcome to the show, Dusan.
Hey, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Well, go ahead and tell us like a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, you know what? I'll say that I appreciate the little French twist on the voyage, but Seed Voyage is actually fine. Oh. But I'll start with that. So I've been I'm kind of a rookie gardener. I really started growing some delicious heirloom veggies, tomatoes and peppers last summer. Other than that, I'm generally an office guy. I've been a business executive, tech and finance and all that fun stuff for most of my career. Have some younger kids, figured moved out to a place where, we had a little bit more room. So planted my first raised bed garden last summer and had a great time at it.
All right. Was that really your very first gardening experience just a couple of years ago? Or did you ever grow up with your parents as a kid?
Yeah, no, I did. Those were my first memories of gardening was with my parents. I come from a European background. And so we tended to have a garden when I was a kid. And I remember having lots of delicious food out of the garden. And it's something that I've wanted to do for a long time. But most of my life I lived in the city and we didn't have a whole lot of property. So recently we moved, the wife and kids, we moved out to more of the suburbs. And the first opportunity that I actually had a little bit of land, and I figured, well, let's relive my youth here and plant some interesting things in the garden.
Cool. So how did you learn how to garden organically then? Were your parents that way, or was it when you moved and started your own garden?
Well, I think back then it was just, it was just doing what made sense, right? I mean, everything was organic until you start to screw it up with different chemicals. So, I don't think my parents worried too much about organic and non-organic back then. I think they were just buying some good seeds, planting it in some good soil, and everything worked out pretty well. My perspective is I guess I'm being a bit of a novice gardener. I mean, I'm buying heirloom seeds and buying some good quality, triple mix for the garden, make sure there's lots of good nutrients in there, no crazy chemicals, and that's about it. So I tend not to overcomplicate things with my gardening. I find it's amazing what Mother Nature can accomplish with some high quality seeds and some good soil.
I love that. And definitely a thread to my show has been healthy soil. That's the number one. I was even thinking that might make a good tagline, your source for healthy soil or something, because that's overwhelmingly the biggest thing people talk about. Well, so tell everybody about, let's talk about Seed Voyage and how that got started and how it actually works, because I just barely mentioned
So really, I mean, it comes from a personal, very personal interest. Last summer when I had my first garden since I was a kid, two things came to mind. One is, these are some of the most delicious foods I've ever had in my life. And again, I have really no skill gardening whatsoever. And I figured, wow, I mean, it's amazing what Mother Nature can do here. So I thought to myself, I should be eating way more backyard produce that's ultra local, fresh, clean. And so I wanted a lot more of it, a lot more from a variety standpoint. But, we're all limited by our garden size. We can't, we're limited by our stomachs. We can't eat a whole lot, being that we're just personal consumers. And so I thought to myself, it would be great to eat way more stuff. But at the same time, I was really impressed by my yields. So I did mainly tomatoes, peppers, and some herbs, and I had way too much of everything. I was a little bit surprised. These Cherokee purple tomatoes were amazing, these Oxheart tomatoes. So I had some great tomatoes, but being a little bit of a science geek, I decided to measure my yields. So I weighed every tomato, and I ended up yielding over 60 pounds of tomatoes last summer on four plants, which was more than I could handle, you know. So I enjoyed my tomatoes, but then at some point I thought it would be wonderful to be able to sell some of my delicious surplus and buy what the neighbors were growing, because the community, and this is something that I realized, is as I'm talking to friends and neighbors and coworkers, a lot of people grow, and they grow really cool things. Generally, a gardener, what I find is that they're not growing your commodity produce that you'll find at any grocery store. So they're growing things, some of which I've never heard of. Neighbors are growing lemon cucumbers and Amarillo carrots and cucamelons and these things that I really was amazed by. So I thought it would be great to create a little bit of a community, a local community, so that, you know, when you are able to buy and sell with 10 other people within a few miles of your house, you're really getting access to hundreds of varieties of different produce that you can't find definitely at a grocery store and probably not even at a farmer's market. So that was the premise. That was the concept of you know, creating this connection, this place where you could buy and sell. And that's what Seed Voyage turned into. And then I wanted to, you know, then for me, it was how do you create a really simple interface, something really simple that people can use and will have fun using. And it's not something that's too difficult, because at the same time, we're talking about groceries, right? You're not going to spend the same amount of effort buying groceries as you would when you're going out to buy a car. So, you know, for me, the initial thought was, how do we create something that's really simple? So one thing I did was pricing simplicity. Basically on the site, everything is offered for $5, because I know pricing in the world of food can get complicated, whether it's per pound or per ounce or per, you know, number of tomatoes or a bunch. And so I wanted to make things simple and say basically everything is offered at $5, meaning that a grower will offer what they believe is fair value for $5. And the buyers will either accept or not accept. So the market will dictate. The other thing I did was, it's really a notification based system. So I didn't want to create another storefront where I need to go online and try to figure out what's available in my area. So really all it is, when a user goes in and signs up, it's completely free to sign up. All you do is input your address and the produce that either you're growing as a grower or the produce that you're interested in buying as an eater. And then when something is available, so, you know, the grower wakes up one morning, sees that they have a bunch of new cucumbers or zucchini that they don't know what to do with, they would click on a button on their phone or PC. That notification goes out, and anyone with matching preferences will get an alert that says, hey, you have a great batch of zucchini within a couple of blocks of your house. Are you interested in buying it? And then you click on the button, you pick up the goods, and you're done.
Wow. Well, you've really thought about this, and it just reminds me of like Apple and their clean, simplistic, you know, everything's got to have a certain amount of white space or white, you know, just like you very simplified it. And I like the $5 thing, because I know a lot of farmers markets have like, you can't sell by weight, because then you get into that scale thing and having like a whatever. So just, I like that part. And I think people would like, you know, start to be like, oh, I really like this. And it also makes it like, cause this is my husband's challenge. Like when we have like 10 pounds of extra carrots, or, you know, the grocery store is not going to take them, the health food store is not going to take them, because they're like, no, we need a regular consistent source, and we need to know, you know, we're going to get carrots every this many days. And that's just been trouble for us. And this just works out so much better. It's exactly what he's thinking. Like when I have this to harvest, and then it also tells you before you even harvest it, should I even bother harvesting it this day? Plus the other thing I like about it is, I always say I would not make a good CSA customer, because I don't like to have to do things on a regular basis. This is why I'm not very good at going to the farmer's market, because I like to have a flexible schedule, and I just want to, I wouldn't want to commit to having to be at the CSA pickup spot every Thursday at 2 p.m. or something, you know, that wouldn't. So this works like when you have the money, when you're going to be somewhere. And then it's very local. So,
yeah, I mean, that was totally my thought. I think we're on the same page there. I did the CSA thing as well. And again, for me, I wanted to create an ad hoc system, you know, because growers, you know, us hobby growers, we don't know what's going to yield well, what isn't. We can't commit to selling stuff. So, you know, I might have a great tomato crop. I might not have a great tomato crop. I want to be able to have the option with the click of a button to say, hey, I have a bunch of extras and send out the notification and people will come by and buy the goods. So I think it works for both sides. I mean, because, you know, you don't want to throw this out. It's just amazing food. And there are lots of people in your community that would love to get access to it. So for me, it was just how to do that really simply. And as I said, I've been a tech guy for a long time. So I come at it more from the technology perspective than I do from the farmer perspective. So that's where I think my concept is a little bit different from some of the things I've seen out there.
Mm-hmm. So the only thing I'm questioning and just thinking of, like, what about, like, I mean, I guess we're in an age where, like, people are driving around in Ubers and strangers are picking up strangers, but, like, have you had any concerns about that? Like, people being like, well, I don't want strangers coming to my house to pick up my vegetables.
You know, it is something that some people will not be pleased about. And I guess the service probably won't be for them. For me, it was really, there's a certain level of trust involved in first from both sides, if you think about it. So for me, I know that I've gotten some requests to be able to find a middle ground, as far as let's have a pickup spot, meaning at the local, you know, church parking lot or whatever it is. But for me, as an eater, putting myself in the eater's shoes, you know, I also need to trust that the food that I'm buying is coming from a good and reputable place. And if you don't trust me to come to your house to pick it up, then that places some seeds of doubt in my head as to where this food is coming from. So I've always even had that with the CSA model. You know, for me, it's a simple thing where, you know, for those that don't want to have to deal with people in exchange of cash, you don't have to. So one thing I've said in the site is when you issue an alert or a notification that goods are available, you can simply put, you know, they're available on my driveway, by the garage, by the front door. You just pick up the goods, you click on the button, and the transaction is actually done electronically. So there's no cash exchange at the door. And, you know, my thought is hopefully people are comfortable with that, because again, we're also dealing with your very local community. You're dealing with people that are generally neighbors. So, you know, hopefully there's a level of comfort there, but if there isn't, you know, I understand, you know, people certainly have the right to be private with their addresses.
I think in a lot of ways, it's actually going to be like almost like a meetup where you're going to meet people who have similar beliefs, you're going to meet other gardeners. Maybe they're going to give you a peek into their garden. You're going to learn stuff, yeah. And you're going to make connections with people that you, like you said, are in your local neighborhood.
Well, you know what, that's a great point, because I've been getting great emails from some of the users on the site. I had one guy, a veteran farmer. He's been gardening for 50 years. He tells me in an email, and we spoke over the phone, out of Pennsylvania. And he said, you know, I feel free to let people know that I'm happy to chat and give some of my expertise and my wisdom over the years on you know, what works and what doesn't. So it's a great community, I find, that, you know, not only are you going over and picking up this guy's goods, but you're also getting a piece of that knowledge. You know, here's what I do. Here's how I get the best tasting tomatoes, which I find just brilliant stuff. So, you know, I think there certainly is that social community aspect to it.
Yeah, I think it's going to turn out like that too. And like I said, Mike has been clamoring for something like this for years, because he always gets frustrated when we have too much produce for us to can, or like to just consume really quickly, and what to do with that. And, you know, we take some to work, or I'll share it with my friends, but there still seems to be a lot of times there's extra, like mm-hmm. you said. I mean, you know, four tomato plants are giving you 60 pounds of tomatoes, and trying to figure out what to do with all that. Like, I even used to have a question: what do you do when everything comes on all at once and you're inundated with eggplants and zucchinis and, you know, there's only so much I can eat and so much I can share? Or sometimes, like with my crazy schedule, I just can't get to those places. So I think this is a great way to connect with people. I just think it's an awesome idea. And I love the way that you've put it all together and then people can pay. Well, I'm curious about, like, how are you making money then if it's free? I thought you were going to say there was like a cost to the grower, but did I catch that wrong?
Yeah, no. So I'll explain. It's free sign up. Everything's free up until a sale is made. So the actual transaction itself, there's a 5% fee on the transaction, meaning that if the grower sells $20 worth of goods, he receives $19 in his or her account, and $1 goes to the company. So it's a 5% transaction fee. But again, you don't pay anything until you actually sell.
Awesome. And that makes it easier too, that people can pay with a credit card too. Cause I was thinking, who has $5 of cash on them? And most of the time, like, there's so many days where, like, I'm like, I don't have any cash on me anymore. And so I like that part, that people can pay through their phone or through their, you know, device or whatever account. I've noticed that Facebook is starting to take money now. Like, people are sending me money through Messenger. People are taking money from me through Messenger. And that's why people keep asking me about, do you think Facebook's going down? And I'm like, no way. They are going to cut. This is the time to buy Facebook stock, because they just, like, now that they're taking the money thing, they're going. But it's true. That's a definite convenience thing. And see, that's one of the things I love about millennials, is they want their tech to work. They expect it to work, and they want it to be convenient. But it does make all of our lives convenient. Like, I like that. I like being able to do things like that.
Yeah, electronic money exchange was absolutely critical. And the way I've built the site is really you just input your credit card information once, and it's all done through a third party called Stripe, meaning that it's all very secure and authenticated. And we as Seed Voyage, we never see people's credit card information. So it's all handled by a very reputable company. And so you input the information once, then you have money in your Seed Voyage account that you can use to buy, and the funds show up in your grower account. So when you sell something, the funds are there, and then you can either cash out, take that money, put it into your bank account, or you can simply use it to buy other people's produce. So yes, you have a ton of zucchini and eggplant, but you know, your peppers did nothing this year, and so you end up buying peppers with the funds. So it makes it flexible as far as what you want to do with the actual cash that you've made.
I love all of this. And you're so right that people really do grow things that you're not going to find at the farmer's market. And they just put a lot of tender care. Your vegetables definitely taste better that are locally grown. And, you know, and it's also like meeting that need of a locally grown produce and things. And I really think people are going to start to make friends this way. Like, it's a great way for people to connect.
And it's a great way to sample things too. That, I mean, the things that I'm growing this coming summer are things that I sampled last year from friends and neighbors, because there's always something new and interesting out there. Even if you're a hardcore grower, you will find, I bet, that your neighbors are growing things that you've never even heard of. And just the thought of, I'm going to try this, and if it's great, then I'll grow it next year, I think is another advantage.
Well, you're so right. I mean, my husband's been growing vegetables for over 40 years now, and he just planted lima beans for the first time this weekend. We've never planted lima beans before, and he wanted to try that kind of like as a cover crop to, you know, improve his soil. And also, he said, do you like lima beans? And I was like, sure, I'll eat lima beans. No, they're fava beans. Sorry, my mistake. But yeah. I know my mom loves fava beans, and that they're a good crop. So, and people are always learning. And my audience is made up of a lot of gardeners who have been doing this for a long time. So people who have, like in my Facebook group where it asks, what's the size of your garden? The majority of people checked at least the size of my backyard, if not bigger. So there are definitely people who have been learning for a long time, doing this for a long time, and are always interested in learning more and connecting with other gardeners, people who love to talk about gardening. So I think this product is going to be great for them. So what else? Anything else we've missed? Or
Well, you know what, I would just say that so far this is our first season, our first year that we've launched, and the feedback and uptake has been really good so far. I think the fact that it's just a free sign up that, you know, feel free to use or not use at some point down the road, I think is a good selling feature. One thing that, you know, I never wanted to create was an ad-based model, meaning that I'm not looking for, you know, eyeballs or clicks to the website. You know, the advantage that an eater will have is you'll go in there, you'll input your address and your produce preferences, and you're done. I mean, you don't have to act again until you receive a notification, hopefully in August, that says, hey, there's some cool stuff in your neighborhood. Do you want to pick it up? So I think that's one of the selling features that's made it really easy for people to sign up. So far, I'm pleased to say that we're getting, you know, hundreds of new users a month, and we're now, I just looked, we're in over 35 states in the U.S. We have users, and in pretty much all the provinces in Canada. So far, it's been a great response, and I'm looking forward to seeing how the spring and summer are going to work out.
Cool. So I guess that brought me up some questions. So, like, living in rural Montana, my neighborhood might go 50, 60 miles, but living in New York where my mom is, her neighborhood's going to be like 10 blocks. So is there a thing on there where you can choose how, you know, yeah, like on Craigslist, you can pick 50 miles or 100 miles. Yep. Like, is there a thing on there to do that?
Yeah, yeah. So when you input your address, you also input your radius of interest. So you could put in within 2 kilometers, 5, 10, or we're going to add 20. So far we're going to be from 2 to 20 kilometers. So yeah, it's that's where we're at now. It's something that we can, you know, consider increasing if there's demand for it. But yeah, there is that ability to modify your region of interest.
Nice. And then also, like, the one thing I was thinking about when you first talked about it, for me, would be nice, like, when you're traveling. So can you, like, go in and change that for, like, if you're, like, looking for local food, like, when you're on a trip or summer vacation or something?
Yeah, it's really easy. I mean, it's a web-based app. So that's another thing worth mentioning is that I didn't create specific apps on Android or iOS. It's just web-based, meaning that you can access it on any mobile phone, any PC. So if you're traveling, it's really easy to go onto the site, change your address, your region of interest, and then you'll start to receive notifications in real time based on what you updated.
I like that. And then, like, how specific can you get? Like, do you just put lettuce, or can you put, like, really specific, like, I'm looking for green leaf lettuce, or I'm looking for, like, spring mix, or I'm looking for, like, heirloom tomatoes only, or any kind of tomatoes, or cherry tomatoes, like?
So for now, I've set it up so that the categories are a little broader. So it's just, for example, tomatoes, lettuce, peppers. That's what's used to create that match. And then there's also an open dialogue box for the grower to input additional information, meaning that this is heirloom, organic, it's a Cherokee purple, or it's, you know, whatever it is, a little bit more specificity. That will be in the alert, but the match is made, the platform is built around those bigger categories of veggie for now. And the thought was, you know, once we get to the stage where we have, you know, millions of people and there's a whole lot of transactions happening, then we can make things a little bit more specific. But for the time being, I think the broader categories should work out okay.
I do too. And actually, my original thought was that you don't want to have to go in there and pick a lot of choices anyway. Like, you just want to just pick tomatoes, and then, like you said, with a grower. So I think you've got this all figured out. Well, how about, like, can I ask you, like, midway through my show, I have this thing called, like, where we get to the root of things, and it's kind of like a lightning round type of thing.
Okay.
Like, do you have a least favorite activity to do in the garden? Something you got to kind of force yourself to get out there and do?
You know what? It's been fun. Let me think. I guess watering. I think watering is probably the thing. I mean, I don't mind picking out the little weeds and all that stuff and clipping my tomatoes, but probably watering, if I can avoid, is the thing that I don't like to do.
Yeah, because it's time consuming.
Yeah, they're just sitting out there holding the you know. I'd like to build an irrigation system at some point, but so far my yard doesn't really justify it.
Well, you know, last summer Mike got this job helping this woman in a local area near us. And she had this because she was from Canada and she only came down on the weekends. And so while she was gone, and it was like 20 miles from our house that he was driving there. So he wasn't going to go there every day. He was lucky to go there once every 2 weeks and help her. I mean, he did went a little bit more in the beginning with the planting, but then like, as far as like any kind of maintenance. So, she had a really simple system, and I think she only had like 4 or 6 deep bed. I mean, it was the kind of system that you could do on 1 4x10 bed, even. Like very small, very simple. I want to say she got it from Gardner Supply, or maybe she got it from Johnny's. Like, I'm pretty sure she ordered it online. It was very simple to set up. Just these really, the thing that surprised me were the hoses were like the size of your, you know, the width of your pinky. They were really teeny tiny hoses, and they kind of like stretched over kind of like a hoop system and just sprayed down onto each bed. And it was just this continuous chain, but you could have a small chain, and there were like ways that you could, you know, attach more and shorten it. I don't know. It was really cool because I always thought that too, like you'd have to have a huge system, but this was really like very simple to do on any size bed, small, large. I'll try and see if I can find pictures or more information about that. But I totally agree, because in our garden, Mike has built these really cool stone pathways. But sometimes moving the hose around to try to like keep it on the pathway and not crushing the carrots, but also to water the whole garden, you know, when you can't, like you have to constantly move. And the one thing that saved me is listening to podcasts while I'm doing stuff like that now.
Kind of true.
But it definitely can be time consuming. Like Mike will be like, hey, you got to go water your little bed of lettuce you planted. I'm like, again, I just watered it yesterday.
Yeah.
And he'll be like, yeah, you have to water it every day. So I feel you there.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden?
Oh, I guess the anticipation of the fruit that's just about right. Looking at it and thinking, oh yeah, tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow's the day I'm coming to pick this. That's probably my favorite.
That's awesome. Nobody has said that. The anticipation of the fruit. I love that.
Mouth is watering. Yep.
What's the bet? Yeah, while you're out there watering. Perfect. What's the bet? But it's all that watering in the meantime. Like to me, I'm like, Mike, you are the most patient person. Like you started this thing in March and it's like just coming to fruition in July. Like that, he's got a lot. I think gardeners have a lot of patience.
That's, you know, sometimes I get asked about the seed voyage name. And for me, that's where the voyage came into play, is that you start these seeds in February, March timeframe, and it's such a journey, an adventure to get to the stage where hopefully you're eating ripe fruit in August timeframe. So that's where the kind of the voyage came into play.
For sure. It's kind of like a marathon. I finally decided that like running a marathon, or like I'm going to try to run a half a marathon this summer. It has like the marathon has nothing to do with that one day where you're racing. It has to do with the whole training process up until that last day. And that last day might seem like the most difficult part, but it's really getting yourself to do all the training ahead time so that you can, you know, crush that last day.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. I like that. What's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
Gardening advice. I would say probably, Well, I guess I usually get most of my gardening advice from my dad. He's the one that's been gardening for the longest. So I don't know. He gives me new advice every time I see him. He seems to be a wealth of new and interesting information. And it comes from a place that's probably, a different region in the world, and comes from, a different time. So it's kind of interesting. It's not stuff that you pick up on YouTube.
That's awesome, because I tell people a lot of time, and a lot of my guests have said, reaching out to other gardeners is some of the best ways to find information, especially about learning about your specific area, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. That's perfect. That fits right in with that. How about a favorite tool? Is there something like, if you had to move and can only take one tool with you, what have you found that you can't live without?
Well, I guess the shovel. The shovel's pretty indispensable.
Excellent. How about a favorite recipe you like to cook from the garden?
Well, my garden produce is so good that I tend, my favorite thing I love to do with it is just to make a nice fresh salad where I pull out my tomatoes and my peppers and a little bit of fresh basil. I just don't want to do too much with it. I don't want to cook it. I just want to eat it fresh and where it's still warm from the sun, picked, cut, put into a pot and into my stomach in about 10 minutes after it's been picked is probably my favorite thing to do with it, with just a splash of olive oil and a little bit of salt and pepper.
Nice. I like that too. And a lot of people have said that. I think that we all have kind of have that in common. Eating fresh vegetables, like asparagus, they never make it to the kitchen. They're always gone as soon as they're picked. I mean, we don't get a lot of them, but the ones that come up are so fresh and yummy, they never make it to the, and just there's so many things I can think of like that. How about your favorite internet resource, being the techie? Seed Voyage.
I probably go most often to... Well, I guess YouTube. I kind of like the videos I find helpful. As far as the articles, I don't know. I can't think of any specific place.
Is there a YouTube site that you'd like to go to, though? Is there like one particular? Because I've been thinking about this a lot lately. That's okay if there's not. YouTube is a great answer.
None jumps to mind. I think there's so much variety in different areas of interest and expertise that I don't know if I've found one specific one that tackles them all.
Well, a lot of people on my show say Johnny's, because they definitely have a great site. But I was thinking, because I've been like filling out this podcasting workshop book, and it asked me, what are the three sources, you know, where people are putting out gardening information? And the very first one that popped into my mind was Peaceful Valley, because I go to their, they have a YouTube site, and I end up going there a lot. And actually, I reached out to the woman. She's going to do an interview with me, so I'm so excited about that. But they have some great YouTube videos. But I'm just glad to hear YouTube, because I was like trying to think, like, is it Pinterest? Where are my listeners? Are they on Instagram? But I think most of them, I think YouTube's the answer. So to be honest with you, I'm glad to hear that. How about, do you have like a favorite reading material or a book you can recommend?
Well, the one I've just recently, my most recent purchase, because I love a variety, I love trying different things. So there's a Veggie Remix by Nikki Jabor.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if that rings a bell, but it's a book about how to grow, I think it's 250 or something like that, different varieties in your garden.
I haven't heard of that book, but we have her, is it Four Season Harvest or Year Round Vegetable Harvest book that I've loved and have learned a lot from. She's a great resource. I should see if she would do an interview with me. So how about some business advice? Since you come from the business world, do you have like any advice for people who want to start maybe an app or a business or, you've definitely got the how to sell extra produce part started.
My business's advice has always been finding something that you enjoy doing and not necessarily have it be profit driven out of the gate. Make sure that it's enjoyable and fun, and that it actually gives you an extra reason to wake up in the morning. Because for me personally, I know there's a lot of good businesses out there as far as, you know, creating a new app to occupy people's times, like a game or whatever it is. And for me, that just wouldn't necessarily wake me up in the morning. But having something that will maybe promote people's interest in better food and having kids be more interested in how to eat properly and what things are supposed to taste like. And, you know, I think all of those additional benefits, I think, go a long way in creating a business that inspires people. And so for me, it's having that, you know, not necessarily the profit-driven mindset, but more the, you know, the community and society mindset. That's just my take on it.
I like that. It reminds me of Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic. She talks about she would never put the burden of supporting herself on her art. And she, you know, she talks about all the different jobs she had while she was learning to be a writer and all the novels that she has or books and papers that nobody's ever going to read, just journals while she was practicing her art when she was like a bartender or, you know, learning how to write for the New York Times or just doing all these different things because she always felt like that would stifle her creativity and certainly got her far. So, okay, here's my final question, Dushan. If there's one change you'd like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, globally, or on a global scale? And this could be your problem you've solved with Seed Voyage. But it could be something completely different. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I'll focus on the Seed Voyage side just because that's one where, you know, my personal interests were just I wanted to eat better and tastier and fresher food. But as I've talked to different people in the industry, they all come at it from a different place. So there's a whole segment out there that says that this type of a concept, this peer-to-peer network, could have some really far-reaching ramifications. Perhaps when people eat more delicious food and they understand what a tomato is actually supposed to taste like, maybe that puts pressure on the industry to not do all of the silly things that they do with respect to you know, having the key criteria for a commercial tomato be the fact that it's red and round and it has never been bred to actually produce delicious flavor. So, you know, having things like that, people are saying, well, this is something that creates a better eating experience so that we don't need all the salts and sugars and fats and everything else. So there's that angle of it. There's the greenhouse gas angle as far as the transportation trucks and the lawnmowers could be all this lawn out there. I wrote a blog recently. It'd be wonderful. It'd be wonderful if all that lawn, if at least some portion of the lawn, which is now the largest crop in the U.S., if some portion was converted into something productive like food gardens. So there's that angle to it. There's the whole therapeutic and mental angle. There's local prosperity and injecting more economics back into your local area, your community, to the benefit of society. So there's a lot of different angles that I think people are taking with respect to this whole peer-to-peer food concept. You know, the Ubers and Airbnbs and creating something like that in the food realm, I think potentially has some really, you know, beneficial long-term benefits to society. So, you know, fingers crossed, we'll see 5-10 years down the road, maybe we'll all be getting a big chunk of our produce that way.
Wow. You know, there's so many things I could add to that or that I was thinking about while you were talking, but that is just perfect. I think, you know, my listeners are really going to relate to that. Because one thing, like, as people like keep talking about defining my niche, and I'm like, well, you know, people are definitely into being more productive, but I also feel like there's that whole yard piece. Like, I don't want to cut out landscapers because even if you're not interested in growing vegetables, you can have an earth-friendly yard that looks beautiful, that's bringing in pollinators, where you don't have to worry about producing actual food. Maybe you live right near a farmer's market, or maybe you're in California where there's big droughts, and there's so many things you can do to grow something that's just gorgeous besides grass. Yeah. So I'm so glad you touched on that. And I really do think that, like you said, with the Ubers and the Airbnb and people getting to know each other, there's so much fear being put out into our country, so much divisiveness and separating each other. And this is going to bring us together and develop that trust in each other. And I just like, I feel like I don't know. I should probably not go on a rant about things, but I love all this. So thank you so much. I hope we get to meet in person someday because I have really enjoyed this conversation. I know my listeners are going to love it. I don't know. Do you have a quick inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden? I mean, I feel like you've dropped like a million golden seeds, yeah. But.
Well, you know what, I would say hopefully for those that haven't taken the plunge, connect with a neighbor or find some way to try backyard produce. And when you do, I would be surprised if you weren't highly motivated to start your own garden. I think it's just a matter of trying is step number one. And if you're a grower, you know, share your produce, share it with friends or share it through Seed Voyage. Get the community going out there because it's tough to go back to the grocery store once you've had your own backyard produce.
That's awesome. Exactly. It really is. Like the one we've been struggling with is we're at our last hen died this winter and we have no fresh eggs at our house. And I'm just going crazy with that. Once you have fresh hen eggs, you can never go back. And yeah. Definitely all the vegetables and produce too. So thank you so much. Tell everybody how to connect with you, Deshaun.
Seedvoyage.com is the site and all of our different Facebooks and Twitters and Instagram links are on that site. So check that out and send me an email anytime. My information is on the site as well.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today. And you have a wonderful spring.
Oh, you too, Jackie. Thanks very much.
Hey there, Green Future Growers. Would you like your friends and neighbors to create an organic oasis too? Would you like others in your area to learn about earth-friendly practices for their gardens and yards? If so, we would love it if you would share the Organic Gardener podcast with your local community or college radio station today. Thanks again for listening, and remember, grow local.